we can save people to the truth. Now, we all want to understand that. Preaching the gospel saves people to the truth. But as far as putting you in the family of God and making you a child of God, it has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Only God himself can do that through the new birth. And he, no man knows from whence the wind bloweth and where it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Now, we have reasons to believe that John the Baptist was born of the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. He leaped for joy. And so there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can reach his people. He can reach the thief on the cross just before he died. He can reach John the Baptist in the womb. He can reach a man over in the Amazon River. He can reach you sitting right here. There's nothing too hard for the Lord that he can't do or accomplish if it's pleasing to him. He says, I have power over all flesh, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he is exalted unto the right hand of God and set down because the work is over. There ain't no more sacrifices to be offered. There's no more goats to be killed as representative of the sacrifice that would put away sin. They had to do it every year and every year and every year because the blood of bulls and goats would not put away sin. But when Christ come and put his away, he did away with that. And they tell me people want to go, the Jews want to build the temple back again. But I'll guarantee you, I'd bet my life on it, if they ever get to build the temple back and offer up, and they go in there and pray like Solomon did, and fire come down and consume the sacrifices and everything, I'll guarantee you that'll never happen again. There's no fire coming down and consume a sacrifice offered now, because the final perfect sacrifice, he offered up himself once in the end of the world, and he put away sin forever. And there'll never be another one accepted to God the Father, because the perfect work has been done. And he has by himself purged our sins. And he intercedes. He's there interceding for us. And that the smoke of the incense represented his continual intercession for his bride, the church, that he has a people in every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every family on the earth. And he is not handicapped that he can't reach them. His arm is not short that it cannot save. The Lord is, he came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. Now, beloved, do you think that the will of God can be thwarted? Do you think that the devils or demons or anything else can outsmart God, the creator of all things? That's what the lesson of Job was to teach us. The devil said, you got a hedge around Job, so you let me at him and I'll show you that he'll curse you. He said, go at it. You go at it, you'll see. Said, you can't take his life, but you can do any, you got him to go ahead and make him miserable. And he made him miserable, took all he had, covered from head to toes with sores and boils. Even his wife said, curse God and die. You ever seen anybody that you thought would be better off dead? I've heard people pray to die. That's the way Job was. But he said, thou speakest as a foolish woman. Faith, the faith of God's elect, cannot be defeated. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There's not a tempest or a trial or a devil or a demon that can quench faith. I know sometimes it gets small and you feel like it's almost laid by. But beloved, it'll endure. It'll endure because Christ in you is a hope of glory. And if you got Christ, you got faith, because it's his gift to his dear children that they might live in hope. I don't care how bad it gets, you have hope of eternal life. And Christ, who promised that he's coming for you. He's coming. We don't know when, nor where, nor how, but he's coming because he said he was. And we can depend upon it. And until that time comes, he's give us his church here. He's give us his Bible. He's give us the Holy Spirit as a witness to his precious word, to abide with us, to keep us, to guide us, to teach us, and to comfort us. And he's going to see us through. No matter how the trials might get and how hard, he'll see us through. And so the Lord, in his wonderful mercy, performed that for us which we could not perform for ourselves. So when he had, by himself, purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It says, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make atonement in the holy place. So he purged our sins by himself. There's no other assistance needed for performing that work of atonement. He atoned for our sins. And as we said, there's many deliverances, many types of saving taught in the scriptures. But as far as that regeneration, the renewing and washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit and washing of regeneration, only the Spirit of God can do that. And he does that according to his will and his good pleasure at his good time. And no man can hinder it, nor no man can help it, as far as that work of giving eternal life concerned. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, and he asked her for a drink of water, and she was astonished because Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans had mixed and mingled up many different gods of the different nations around about them, and the Jews would not associate with them. But the Lord Jesus told her, he said, if you had known who it was that speaketh with thee, said, you would have asked me, and I would give you living waters. That would be a fountain of living water springing up in your belly forever. And she said, Lord, give me this water. Have you ever been sin sick and desire that water? Have your sins ever come up before you and you felt like you were gone forever? You desired living water. Lord, evermore give me this water. And that's what the good Lord has done. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Those two goats that they brought to be a sin offering, they cast lots. And one goat, the lot fell on one goat for the Lord, and the lot fell on the other goat to be the bearer of the sins away into the wilderness. So they slew that goat, the Lord's goat, they slew him and sprinkled the blood as it was commanded to do. And then the high priest put both hands on the head of that other goat, and he confessed all the sins of all Israel upon that goat. And then a fit man led him out into the wilderness outside of the camp, way out away, where he could never be found, turned him loose, where he could never be found again. He says, your sins will never be remembered against you anymore. That sin goat took him away. He was our scapegoat. The Lord Jesus became our scapegoat. All our sins were laid upon him. And he took them to the tree of the cross. And now they're pictured in different places. It's being cast over his shoulder into the depths of the sea. And as far as the east is from the west, never to be seen anymore. Do you know, if you start walking east, you'll never get west. You'll never reach west. Because the earth's turning and you'll never get there. You'll always be, it's as far as the east is from the west. And that's an eternal distance. And so our sins are eternally cast away from us, never to be remembered no more. Beloved, that's a wonderful thing, to have that hope in your bosom, that on judgment day, that you'll be stand there in front of God Almighty justified. Not a sin can be laid to your charge, because Christ has justified you. And he has sanctified us by his life. He lived 33 and a half years. And he never thought a sin. He never spoke a sin. And he never committed a sin. Who can imagine a thing like that? Who can imagine never thinking something contrary to the law of God? That's what he did. He fulfilled the law in every jot and in every tittle. And he did it for you and me. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to. He submitted himself to the hands of cruel and wicked men, was beaten unmercifully, blindfolded and smote, and said, "You a prophet, prophesy, who hit you?" They had sport with him. Boy, they were having fun. Opened not his mouth, it was like a lamb led to the slaughter. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, not just the sin of Israel, but the sin of his family and every family on the earth, anywhere in the world, I don't care where they are, he's put them away. They're as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered them anymore. And thank God for his tender mercies. He knows how to administer that which he has purchased and bought for himself. He knows how to reach his dear children. And thank God for his truth that feeds our souls even this day, that we can live in hope of the forgiveness of sins and of eternal life because of what he's done for us. His tender mercies and loving kindnesses are to be remembered forever and forever and forever and forever. And I think that's one of the major things we'll be doing there, is always thanking him and praising him, living with him in admiration. It said, one scripture says, he's coming to be admired in all of his saints. Can you imagine that day? I will admire him. He's coming to be admired in all of his saints. How are we going to admire him and worship him? We'll learn things that we've never even dreamed of that he's done for us. How he's protected us in times we didn't even know it. Our wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. And it's amazing to me, the half has never been told, the depths of the riches of the Word of God, how it's hidden, these wonderful truths are hidden in there that he's reserved for us, for his dear children, that we might live in hope and wait with patience for that great day when he'll come. Some will be crying for the rocks and the hills to fall on them, but we'll be admiring him. We'll be singing his praises forever and forever. May God add his blessings to his word as our prayer. And we want to sing a hymn. And I'd like to sing Amazing Grace. And We strike glad hands of fellowship. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that's never asked to be baptized, believing the Lord has put away your sins in that precious sinless body that he suffered in for your sake, and you'd like to publicly confess him as he's commanded us to, we'll give you that right and privilege while we assemble together. Sing, brethren, when you're ready. 154.
Amazing grace,
how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my
Be our light and darkness, our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name.